Don't talk about it.
You know.
Don't bring it up.
No. What? But,
no, I'm not. I just said, don't talk about it. I'm not bringing it up.
I've said nothing. We did the countdown, and I just sat here in silence.
It's your tone. I know your tone.
Like, the tone of silence? Worst Simon and Garfunkel song ever.
I was actually thinking that at the same time.
Oh, were you? Oh. Good for you. Hey.
I was like, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, yeah. We're both hacks. Hello and welcome to episode 333 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam Vancouver.
That is hard to spit out, 333.
Oh, that's a, you know what? One of my favorite numbers, hockey number as a kid, still love the number to this day. 33. So this is like a bonus. It's 33 with an extra 3.
Yes. Larry Walker.
Scottie Pippen.
And Babe Ruth.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, why was it your favorite hockey number?
I was a huge Mario Lemieux fan, but they would never let you.
Half as good?
A lot less than half as good, but they, you know, would never let you get a number that went that high in kids hockey, but for some reason they would let you have 33. So the famous story of Wayne Gretzky wanted to be Gordie Howe's number 9. I went the other way. I went half of Mario Lemieux.
I love the fact that the guy who arguably the best player to ever play the game, his name was French for the best.
Oh yeah,
I love that. I mean just the, if that was in English, it wouldn't fly. Jeff. Hey, who's that guy? Oh, it's Jeff the best.
That's true. It would kind of be a little weird.
Unless you're the drummer for the Beatles who got booted, and then it was Pete. But no, just Pete Best.
Pete Best. Yeah, that's true. No, yeah. You never think of it that way, though.
I never thought of it. You need the.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll talk to Pete Best.
Okay.
See if we can add a le in there. Pete Le Best. Far better name.
Let him know.
He'd probably still be with the Beatles at this point.
Yeah, you would think so.
I would think if that's the case. Amazon is what's going on.
I bought something.
What'd you buy, man?
I can't believe
this is exciting to us.
I think I alluded to it last week. I bought the Bluetooth transmitter that you it's actually a transmitter and a receiver. It's about the size of a compact flash card, maybe a little bit smaller and a little bit thicker, but weighs about the same as a compact flash card.
Okay, and so this is so that you can basically
turn anything. I mean, I'm using it at the gym so I can transmit wirelessly the TV audio from the little TV that are on the cardio machines to my headphones. Uh-huh. But theoretically, my TV in my bedroom or else, I could actually send my iPod. Like, my stereo is already Bluetooth enabled, but let's say I had my previous stereo that wasn't. I could basically send my iPod music straight to my stereo via the receive settings, so I can transmit from the TV to my headphones, or I could transmit from my iPod to whatever speaker, whatever device I want. It becomes instantly Bluetooth, and this thing is amazing, because I think there's a lot out there that aren't great, or that there's a lag time. Like, if you're watching TV, you don't want the mouse to be way off. There's basically zero lag whatsoever on this thing. The reviews were amazing, so I'm big on getting something that's got a lot of positive reviews. I don't buy stuff that if it either doesn't have any reviews or if it's got negative reviews, I'm out. That's uh-huh. it. I'm going with the consensus on the reviews. But this thing's awesome. It's $40, and it's, like I say, it's tiny, it's light, and it just does whatever you need it to do. So the one I bought was Teotronics, and it was Amazon.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Amazon for $40. You'll see there's hundreds of reviews on these ones. And I got the one that you could actually transmit to two people at the same time. I don't know when that's going to come up.
Do you have two receivers?
Well, I have lots of wireless. It'll transmit to two. So you can sync it to two. Like I could sync it to my headset and to the
headset. It's a one piece situation, so it's not like you get not like your flash thing where you have a transmitter and a receiver.
No, it's just one piece.
So you need to have you can't have wired headphones.
No,
like what you're doing here. Let me just paint a picture for the people who stopped listening.
Okay,
on the
they're
cycle
listening now. They're listening now.
Yeah, they're dialed right in. Oh, wait a second. Let me get my notepad. I don't want to miss a beat on this. So you're on the life cycle there, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So when you grab the handlebars, it gives you your pulse, right?
Sure.
Probably does. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. This is the fancy thing. All I know is when you sweat on it, wipe the sweat off when you're done. That's what I know.
That's what it says. Yeah.
I hate the bikes. I cannot stand riding the bikes. It is the most boring thing in the world. And I ride my bike every day. I probably put in minimum 20K every day on my bike, like just in life.
Yeah. I don't do that.
Yeah. No, I understand. And, I cannot stand the bike. Never could, even when I didn't put in the kilometers. So anyway, on the bike though, so it's got like a little 1/8-inch stereo jack on the bike that you plug your headphones in if you had plug headphones.
Right.
Okay. And then you could listen to CNN or whatever they have on. Probably sports. Guessing sports.
Yeah.
So okay, but now you don't have that because you have fancy rootin' tootin' Bluetooth headphones like myself.
Yeah.
That I bought because of you.
Right.
So you can't use them. So now you plug in that little 1/8-inch stereo jack, and then it has a Bluetooth transmitter receiver, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now you're dialed in.
Yeah. So I just sync them up. Yep.
Okay. Now I'm with you.
But like I say, where this comes up for me, had I not bought a new stereo 2 years ago, I was always wanting to play my iPod music library through my stereo, but had to figure out a whole corded method. This is wildly simple. So if anybody's in that situation with their stereo music, like the TV thing's a bonus. I mean, I don't know. I don't really ever watch TV up in my room unless there's a hockey game and my kids are doing something TV related. So it doesn't come up that much. So I don't really need headphones in my bedroom because I don't like watch TV while my wife's sleeping or anything. Like the headphone on the TV doesn't really come up, but I could see it for people who have wireless headphones and want to use it with an older computer, then it would work fine. I'm sure there's other applications. You want to make a speaker a Bluetooth speaker. So I don't know how many wireless speakers there are out there that aren't already Bluetooth, but you could essentially Bluetooth your iPod or stereos. I think some people's car stereos, maybe they've got an auxiliary in on their car stereo, but it's not a Bluetooth stereo.
There you go. That's what I was getting at, because we do have that. We have that going.
Yeah.
I just bought a little cable for it, so I'm all set.
Yeah.
But where it would come in handy, what I have been using is like an old, like 10 years now, probably, even older, maybe Airport Express. Remember those?
The little white plug-in
things?
Yeah.
I have one of those that we don't really use for much of anything, except for I just popped it on the Wi-Fi network and plug it into our stereo, and that's how we play music via the iPod.
Okay. Gotcha.
But it's I'll probably drop $40 on this little thing that you're talking about and save $40 in power in 6 months by not having to use the USB.
Yeah.
Or what do you call it? The Airport Express. So how is this thing power? This is we're going way deep on this.
It's got a little internal battery that you basically just charge. So it's got the little charger. So and it's apparently will do 12 hours. So I've never run it dry yet. Mm. So it is
that's
pretty
a deal
sweet.
Breaker for me. Can you? But in theory, you could just plug
you could keep
it, in
it plugged it in. Absolutely. You
okay.
Could. Yeah.
And then I'm probably going to negate all the power savings.
No, probably you'll probably be a wash.
It's probably very little. Right?
Although, this draw would be minuscule.
Right.
Yeah.
Like 1.21 gigawatts, probably.
Sure.
Something in that range. I mean, I'm going to look into this. I'm going to look into this and see, because this sounds like, because I kind of don't even like the airport thing anymore.
Okay. Well, so, this thing works awesome, and it has all the newest audio codecs from the reviews I was reading. And like you say, there's no lag. That's the draw on a lot of these, is that people just complain that the lag. And so zero lag in so far in what I've seen from TV. Absolutely none.
I found that people are generally complainers, though.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems like they were, this was first and foremost one of their key advertising points, was that the low latency and that, you know, again, no lag. And so I can confirm that in my experience so far with it, zero lag.
When I was in my late teens, we owned a VCR.
Okay.
And it had a remote. It had a wired, our VCR had a wired remote.
Okay.
Can you believe that?
Like that's super, super old school. Like, did it pull out of the front of the VCR?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. But it would slide back in, and it would be like hidden in the front.
Oh, no. Not like that. Not like that. No. I see what you're saying. No, you plug it in. Like, it had essentially an eighth inch stereo jack kind of plug on the end.
Okay.
And you would basically, and we bought it before I was in my late teens, but we still had it in my late teens, put it that way, because the VCR was fantastic.
Like, right.
It did a great job of VCRing. but so we probably got it, I'm going to say 1984.
Okay, that's important to this story.
It is important when you get it, VCR 1984. 85, probably, because we used to rent one for my birthday. Like, that was a big deal. Like, you'd rent a VCR, like $30 for the night, right? And you get two movies included. And so I remember the first movie, we got Jaws. That was a big deal. Got Jaws for, you know, my seventh birthday or something like that. And then no one watched the movie, and everybody would just kind of went home and, you know, the end.
Okay.
Here's your grab bag. Thanks for not watching the movie. Thanks for talking through the movie. But anyway, so we got the VCR, and it had a wired remote. And so what I'm saying is that we had if you have a wired remote, you're not too worried about a millisecond of latency on your Bluetooth connector.
Right.
Just dial it back. It's pretty good. Life is pretty good right now.
Yeah, and just the fact that it's that cheap and that good and that small is pretty awesome. But yeah, sorry everybody who's listened to the first, you know, 12 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah,
no photography talk whatsoever. Maybe a disclaimer on this first 12 minutes.
No.
Make them listen. It's really going to take a hard turn towards photographic genius in the next few minutes.
Oh no, that's a promise you can't keep. Yeah, so there's going on. All right, well, what's going on baseball wise I'll give you my update, and then you give me yours.
Okay.
We split last weekend.
Okay.
We've been sweeping, played against the number one, I don't know, either the number one team or the number one contender. Like, whoever they are, we're the opposite. Like the guys we played last weekend.
Right.
Remember I told you last weekend it was going to be our first real challenge. We came up short 5-3 in the first game, which I was not super thrilled with. Came up with bases loaded, only drove in one run, should have driven in more. A little sour about that. But so we lost 5-3.
Okay.
And then won the nightcap 9-3, just smoked them.
So are you nice. Are you leading the league in all your offensive categories still?
No. I'm still hitting very well. Like, I'm still, but I've fallen off. I had a great, like a ridiculous start, like the kind of start that you can only fall off from. There's no way you can keep that up.
Right.
Like,
but you've fallen off is what you're saying. You're not going to be setting a German league record this year.
I really have to ramp it up. Well, no, I mean, after the first doubleheader, I was hitting 800. So there's no way you can keep up 800 in any league. Can't do it.
Okay.
And so I'm still hitting, you know, great. It's fine. No problems. I'm not crying. But I'm not leading the league.
Okay.
Close on stolen bases, though. If that's the shocker. That's the shocker that's kind of upsetting some people. That I'm up in the stolen base department.
The old guy, Grandpa Attridge, is in the top 10 in stolen bases.
Top 10, top 8, top 5, probably, yeah. Yeah, it's actually shocking me as well. So I'm up there. I'm think I'm second on the team on our team. We have one guy who's lighting it up, but no, scored from first the other day.
Wow,
that's scored a long, from first.
It's a long trek.
A little bit
on a single.
No, it was a double, but still scoring from first. It's like, you know, I threw up on the way, but it was, yeah. Oh, good. He got sick on himself. Ew. Like, I was out by 50 feet, but no one wanted to tag me. Like, ah, forget it. Just be safe, man. Forget it. You know, so there's that. And also, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, grass is finally growing in the front yard.
Sweet. I'm sure we talked about it.
I'm sure we did, but it's really coming in now. It's very exciting. Yeah.
Okay.
It's coming in thicker than my back hair. It's fantastic. Yeah, I'm going to get a shot of me laying on it with my which is the bare back.
You got to dye it green though. It'd be like camouflage. Yeah, yeah.
No, oddly it is. It just grows in naturally green. Yeah, I must be Irish. Yeah, so I'll get that. It's kind of a camouflage shot. You won't even see me in the shot.
Just your pants. Yeah.
It's like if George the Animal Steel was Irish.
Okay.
Yeah, or Dave Babich.
Dave Babich, another good one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's got more hair on his knuckles than most people have on their entire body. Dave Babich.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Google, for anyone who doesn't know Dave Babich, Google that. B-A-B. What's the word? B-A-B-Y-C-H. Is that how you spell it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dave Babich.
Just an awesome, manly man.
Oh yeah.
An ex-Canuck, yeah. Vancouver Canuck.
Ex-Vancouver Canuck. And Hartford Whaler.
Yeah. I think he had a meme, but there might have been another team in there, too.
Hartford Whaler. Yeah. Great logo. A team you don't hear from anymore because they're Carolina
great,
now.
Great right? jerseys. Yeah.
Just they, great
they,
jerseys.
They moved to Carolina, yeah.
Yeah. They weren't good at playing, but, you know.
There's a hockey jerseys. Nostalgia that goes with the Hartford Whalers name and logo.
Yeah.
Immortalized in the movie Mallrats.
Is that right?
That's right.
I forget about that. I blocked that movie.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot some Mother's Day pictures.
Oh my! Glad you brought up Mother's Day, man.
We forgot.
I learned a valuable Mother's Day lesson this year.
Don't forget about it.
Did not forget about it.
Okay.
Remembered it.
Okay.
But when your wife, because you're in Germany, Mother's Day isn't really a thing. I mean, it's a thing. We have it, and it's very rare that it actually falls on the same day as in North America, but this year it did.
Okay.
And so if your wife tells you, oh, no, like don't make a big deal about Mother's Day. It's nothing. Don't even worry about it. And I say, okay, great, you know, done. You know, already
check
one
that
step
box.
Yeah, one step ahead of you on that one. I won't make a big. Not only will I not make a big deal. I won't even come home. Like, I'll probably just stay out all night boozing with the fellas. So when Mother's Day falls on the same day as North America, and all the North American friends, like my sister and everybody, you know, text her and say, hey, what did everybody do for you? And after six or seven people find out that we did nothing, and they're like, oh, I can't believe it. The kids didn't do anything. Alan didn't do anything. Then she gets upset.
Right.
Turns out it is a big deal. Yeah. Lesson learned. So.
Okay. So did you end up doing anything?
No, no. It was far too late by then. I apologize on Boxing Day of Mother's Day.
Right.
Whatever the day after is, Monday was just a lot of me, you know, doing dishes that didn't even need to be done.
Right.
So,
okay.
Kind of, I paid the price.
Yeah, I know better than to not make a big deal about Mother's Day, because my wife would never say, don't make a big deal about Mother's Day.
Right, but that's
Day.
Not knowing better.
Right.
That's. If your wife came out and said that, hey, don't make a big deal about it, first of all, you'd wonder, hey, what's up? You know?
I know it's a big deal to her, so we make a deal. And it's also kind of a North American thing that in school, the kids both you know, there's a Mother's Day activity that's done through school. So they both usually have cards done. So I don't have to prod them to make something that fortunately the school always makes sure that kids have something for their moms to bring home, a craft or card or something. So both kids had stuff. And then I tend to not get big things, but I get a little sort of, you know, little couple of tokens of appreciation just to show that, that again, I'm thinking about it. And then we usually do, you know, make that day about doing stuff for mom. Like we do you want to know what we did?
Yes.
I'll make you look bad. You know, I made her breakfast. My wife's mom was in town as well. So I made both of them, you know, breakfast. I made everyone
egg
breakfast.
McMuffins.
But I made kind of what I knew they would like. And then I went and got a few little pastries because I thought that would be kind of a nice treat. Some scones from the scone place and coffee and scones and breakfast. And then we went to White Rock Beach, which we haven't been to for years and years. The last time we figured we were there was when Sarah was 2 weeks old. We found a 2-week-old picture, and there's many more beaches closer to where we are, and so we would not go to White Rock just because there's...
This is Centennial Beach, right?
No, this is White Rock Beach, like where the pier is.
Is it called... I thought it was called Centennial.
Centennial's the one in Tawasin. Sort of the one down that way by sort of on your way to Point Roberts. That's Centennial Beach. So I don't know what this one, White Rock, I just call it White Rock Beach, but...
We'll just call it Centennial.
Sure, call it Centennial. If that's the case, then there's two Centennial beaches relatively close together.
Yeah, which is odd.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, we did that and wandered around there and, you know, kids, we walked the pier and did some walking around and kids got ice cream and stuff. And then I took care of the grocery shopping, something that, you know, we usually do together. I just spared her the grocery shopping and kept the kids occupied and then took care of dinner. So it was like an all day Mother's Day event trying to make her life as comfortable and easy for a day, because that's typically what she does for the kids. So,
yeah. You took a picture, and that's the important part.
Yeah, so I took a picture. So I just put... Did you see? I just put a picture in the Dropbox.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, so I did that out by the pier, kind of like just one of those shots that super easy. The sun was overhead, so tried to sort of position her so I could get both depth from the pier, because there's a really neat long pier, and the tide was way out, as you can see in the photo, and with no lights or anything, basically try to save a little bit of the sky and try to get it at an angle where at least the sun creates even light on her face, because the sun's kind of directly overhead and a little bit behind her, so I can kind of use it. You see the sun on her shoulders and sort of her hair, and but I didn't want any of the harsh kind of, you know, raccoon eye effect on her face. So I feel like given the conditions, this is about as good as I was going to get facing this direction.
Well, this is great. And like because of all the different things, like the elements, like the pier, adds the depth and all that. And the background is, technically speaking, overexposed.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Like that actually works for this photo, because if it was too, you know, properly exposed with a super saturated sky and everything else perfect, it would look kind of fake. Like this is how it looks on this day. If you're focusing on your wife's face, which is nicely exposed and a nice smile and all that stuff going on, then you know, you don't want to detract from that. And that's how you would see the background. The background would appear a little bit bright in life.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, so this, okay, maybe black and white. And I tried it in black and white, and I thought, no, it's actually a better picture in color. So
it is that faded kind of that sort of desaturated blue sky really lends itself to exactly this photo. Like this, no, this is what you should be shooting for. This is an 85 mil.
Yeah, on the 5D Classic.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great, first of all, great setup. Have we mentioned it before? Probably about a million times.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially in this situation when you're out at a giant wide open place and nobody around. Like if this was a crowded beach in like Biarritz, France or something like that, you wouldn't necessarily want that. I mean, maybe you would, but it's a little different. But when you have wide open like this, like you can get back far and still shoot enough of the surroundings and get a great image. with the 85 instead of something like a 50 or a 35 or whatever that would look like.
Agreed.
The end. Yeah.
Now that I say that, I hesitate. I shudder when I look at the metadata and see that it's actually the 50 mil.
It could go either way.
It is. It's one of those. I couldn't tell the difference. And when you said that, I assumed it was. But now
I is it the 50?
It actually is the 50. So
the 50. But you're talking. Is that like an
F2.8? No, it's like an F5.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really out of focus. Really quickly.
I know, and that's just because of the distance in the background. It's just the subject to distance background. But even the sand, like that's close to her. I agree. This looks more like a 50. More like an 85 than a 50, especially considering how fast that drop-off looks like it is. So that even that distance must be further than I think.
Yeah, now that I know it's a 50, this is garbage.
Yeah.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I couldn't lie to the listeners, so just buy a 50. Forget everything we've said about an 85, wasting your money.
Yeah, I'm going to throw mine in the garbage.
So how about you? Did you shoot anything interesting?
Well, not compared to this.
Okay. All right.
No, I did. We shot I also shot with the 50, a photo that I won't show till next week, though.
Okay.
We shot a cover for the next home game. This weekend we're playing on the road again and then back at home. And so every home game we have the cover for the magazine and put it up on Instagram and Facebook and promote the game and stuff like that. So I got what I think is a good one but I'll post it. I can't post it until next week. I'm not 100% done.
Okay.
There's some graphics involved. I got to shoot a plate for the background. There's multiple people that I had to shoot in the studio downstairs and then cut out in Photoshop, essentially green screen, except for I had black background and I cut them all out individually. And then I'll put together a composite for something that next week. We'll talk about next week on the show.
Okay.
I'll show you a little preview later. I'm kind of proud of it, actually.
I'm anxiously awaiting.
All right. So there's that. Also, the pool is open again, the outdoor pool, the Freibad. And so I was shooting some stuff there, like just brought my camera, took the kids a couple times this week because we finally had some nice weather. And so, you know, my move with the 40D and the 30mm lens, which, in my opinion, basically paid for itself about 4 years ago. And so everything now is just complete, you know, gravy.
Okay.
And thus, as I've mentioned before, I take it anywhere and everywhere. So I'll take it in the swimming pool, in the deep end, I don't care. But more importantly, I'll take this one, in the pool where the kids are coming down the slide. And a bunch of the other little punk kids, you know, like the 13-year-old punks who are just making trouble on the slide. They see my camera and they're just trying to splash it for no reason. They don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then one kid comes up to me. I'm physically in the pool with my camera taking pictures of my kids.
Right.
And he basically says to me in German, "Oh, is that waterproof?" No. Why? What does it matter to you? You don't even know me. Like, what are you going to do? Move on with your day, son. That was essentially my attitude. Is it me?
No. I think that's just kids in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind your business.
Yeah.
So, all right. Photo challenge this week. Speaking of the pool, was stopping the action. Now, I issued this because I thought your son had about 114 baseball games.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one in that he had a baseball game. There's another team that was short players that at basically I'm coaching his team, but his team had enough players and there's other teams that didn't have enough. So he went and played in a game where a team needed a couple players and I still had to coach our team. So I didn't really have the opportunity to take any pictures. And
gotcha.
Yeah, so I didn't take any baseball photos at all. So then I had to look for another freeze the action situation.
See, I was actually trying to tee it up for you.
Yeah, I would have done that, but it wasn't going to happen.
Okay, well. Yeah,
and I didn't want to just take a picture of a random kid. That's not my move.
No, that's no.
But I did Mother's Day because I figured, hey, I'm already going to take the camera because I like to snap a Mother's Day photo. So I'm gonna get an action shot at the beach. So that's what I did.
Let's do that. Let's have a look at yours then. Now we got the three people in your family who aren't you.
Yeah.
And then one of them, the old Paul McCartney's barefoot. What does that mean?
Well, she
a replacement? Is she a clone?
She was wearing sandals. Uh-huh. And then she, like, there was a ton of rocks that we had to kind of get through to get to the beach part. Mm-hmm. And so she cut her foot, of course.
Mm-hmm. And I've cut my foot on that very beach.
So she's cut her foot. So then she can't wear sandals. And she's kind of like, she's doing a kind of a weird hopping kind of running move. So this was the most normal looking. The other ones are just silly because she's sort of running and hopping at the same time because her foot kind of hurts and she doesn't want to put weight where the big gash in her foot is.
Fair enough.
So this one actually looked, I chose one that where it looked like she's actually running, and that you see the pier in the background. And then I just showed them running in the exact opposite direction because the light is a little bit better, and it was sort of a bit overcast where the sun was coming in and out, so the lighting was a little more even on the other photo where you can see she's kind of doing a weird sort of hopping claw hand running move. But this is what most of them look like, and she's most of the time when they look like they're running, and she looks like she's on a pogo stick, one leg's way up in the air. And so anyways, I just wanted to show the difference in how the lighting looked, and I wish I had that first shot with the background of the second shot.
I disagree again. Just to go back to the Mother's Day picture, I kind of like the overexposed clouds. I'm okay with it.
Well, it's not so much about the overexposed. I the angle to the pier, to me, like as a flat background, I don't like nearly as much as the diversity in the other background.
You should have got down. You should have been laying on the sand.
Maybe that's what
probably.
It is.
Probably.
I think it's the photo that I'm actually using as the photo challenge. It's fine. Because I knew they were going to be at different distances, I needed to allow for a greater depth of field because I wanted everybody to more or less stay in focus, which also keeps the background more in focus, which is the part that I don't love. I wish I could have had them more evenly lined up and then have the background less in focus, and I think I would like that photo better.
But your wife needs to get quicker. I mean, yeah, she's pretty far
Sarah,
back.
They had to give Sarah a head start because she was doing the hop-along move.
Yeah, so, I guess. But I'm looking at your wife here, and what's her time in the 40? Like 12 seconds? That's terrible. Like her combine score is weak.
Yeah.
I know it's Mother's Day, but come on.
Jack's pretty quick, though.
Yeah, I guess. Is he going to play for the Lions one day? Maybe.
Maybe. He loves that sweatshirt.
Yeah, well, the good news is with the Lions, you can play part-time while you work your Foot Locker. So
that's
the CFL right there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you'll see RG3 there next year.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I like it. And the good news is, I mean, you don't freezing the action here isn't tremendously difficult.
No.
Especially with your wife's laziness.
High shutter speed. I think this is about 1/2000th of a second, something like that.
We'll discuss the finer points in today's topic. That's what the topic is.
That's what I did. I made a high shutter speed.
If you look, so basically in the alternate version, I think is the best example of freezing the action because your wife and your daughter's hair is kind of flying around, and that is frozen. Like that's the basic kind of movement where everything else would be frozen probably even at 1/400th of a second. Like you're probably not going to see a lot of blur in this case, but it's the hair where you see it being – where you can tell that you're freezing the action.
Okay. There you go.
So, you know, decent photos. You know, I think best of a tough situation because if you can't shoot your kid playing – baseball and freezing that ball, which I actually shot some baseball stuff, which I'm not going to use. The baseball one is my alternate.
Okay.
So let's have a look at that one. That's my alternate first. So this is one of the kids on our team hitting the ball. That's me freezing the action. What do you think of this shot?
It's good.
It's fine. But expand on that if you can, or not. Maybe we just walk away.
No, I think I like it. There's nothing. I don't have anything critical other than, you know, maybe the angle to the background, like the posts and that are a bit distracting. But what are you going to do? That's what the backdrop looks like.
So. We have a terrible field, like photographically and also baseballishly. We have a terrible home field. Road games are much better for us, which isn't true because we know our own crappy field and sort of have an advantage that way. But I hate shooting photos at our field because it just doesn't look right. Doesn't look good. We're in the process of trying to build a new one, so you know, one day.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this was an exhibition game, and so we play against one of the local. It's a local American high school that plays on one of the Army bases, and so they come out and we play them once a month, kind of thing. Just which is weird for me to play against a bunch of 17-year-old kids. Like, yeah, great. Same age as your mom, who's up in the stands right now. That's great.
No, you're
like legitimately
same
age.
You're way older than their mom.
Probably could be. Anyways, so my one rub against. This, aside from the fact that Luca here is collapsing his backside a little bit and should be standing a little more upright and driving that ball, is we're just using our kind of batting practice bats because we don't want to saw off our good wood on the in an exhibition game.
Okay.
So photographically, like this composite bat does not look good. So that's the big rub for me. Other than that, it's, you know, reasonable. It's, you know, the bat's not hitting the ball. That would be nice, but that's kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when I'm shooting pictures in between, you know, playing. Like I'm heading out in the field, and I'm you know, probably hitting two batters after him. So instead of being in the on deck circle, I'm snapping photos. I'm terribly disappointed with this. However, wasn't my shot. I went with the pool because my son did not miss a beat. Right back to going down the slide. Loves it. Loves the slide. So I wanted to capture a shot of him and freezing the action as best I could. And that's what we're looking at here. Him going just a millisecond before going under the water.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
It's not a wild departure from last year, though, is it?
No, it's a photo that we've seen before.
Well, he is a little bigger now.
That's about it.
Yeah, and last year's was better, but this is a situation where a lot of kids are, like I said, they're acting like jackasses, and so I had to try to, you know, angle myself so I wasn't going to get splashed by these other kids. So I kind of would like him to come, you know, straight down the slide a little bit more like I had last year, but I was able to kind of freeze everything. So if you see his left hand kind of hitting that water, all those water drops are just frozen.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is his back right foot, just where you see kind of like the water coming off of his foot, looks pretty cool, too.
Yeah. So, again, in terms of execution, this isn't the greatest example, but I will try this again. Now, this was at a very, very fast shutter. So, the topic this week is stopping the action. Why? Why is that? Like, we talked about a little bit last week with your son, or 2 weeks ago maybe, with your son's baseball photo. There was a little bit of blur in there, and you said that you kind of liked that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not disagree, or at least I don't now. I don't remember what I said, but sometimes it's fine. Sometimes you want to stop the action. Sometimes you want to keep the motion blur. But let's say you want to stop the action as best you can.
Yeah.
Now, getting away from exactly how we do that in terms of the camera, this is a hard question to pose without getting into the photography part of it.
Okay.
But in terms of physics, how do we stop the motion? What is it? What is it in terms of life that we do to basically, essentially stop that action?
I have no clue what you're getting at.
What I'm getting at is we try to take... Well, let's say if you're just sitting on a corner and you have your stopwatch and cars are going by and you sit there for a minute, you're not going to have any... how many cars are going to go by? A whole bunch.
Right.
Right? If it's in 1 second, much fewer cars.
Okay.
1/10 of a second fewer, and so on. And so to the point is, and I know this sounds a little bit condescending, I promise it isn't. I promise it's involved in, I don't want to just tell you how to do this one thing. I want it to make sense in the physical world and then therefore apply to a bunch of different scenarios.
Okay.
Which is, again, just to get sidetracked, because this is the episode for that, my daughter, who's not 6 yet, she's still 5. We're doing. She's interested in math, because if she's not, I beat her with a coat hanger.
Right.
She enjoys it. Like, she was, so every couple, not every day, but most mornings, we'll do something with her little, with her toy. She has these little discs that click together, and you can build stuff out of. But the point is, there's like, 300 of them in the container. So she likes to count them, and so, Daddy, I have 8, and then you give me 4, and she does, okay, now I have 12. And so she likes that, and then we get into, I say, okay, well, here's the 12, put them into 3 equal piles. And she'll put them into piles of 4, and she now knows that 12 divided by 3 is 4.
Right.
Okay? Now, it's not that she knows how to do math, it's just that we relate it in the physical world.
Right.
And thus, when math comes along way down the road, there is some connection, and that's kind of what I would like to do with stopping the action, so that it applies on many different situations. You don't have to think about, what do I do in this situation? Let's break it down. So when you want to stop that action, we want to take a very, very, very small slice, time-wise, of that event.
Right.
So the smaller the slice, the less movement there's going to be.
Correct.
So your family running on the beach, if it's a 1 second, if you just take 1 second of that, well, like a movie, a 1 second video clip, they're going to be moving. Not your wife. Your wife's going to be frozen, still, but but the kids, they're going to cover some distance.
Right.
Let's reduce that as much as we can, and basically that will essentially freeze the action.
Right.
Which, when it comes to shutter speed, that's how we do it, via shutter speed. In this scenario, we do it via shutter speed.
Right.
We get that as fast as possible. It's less time, which is a fraction. And so, what is on the 6D?
Or that's the 5D, yeah.
The 5D Classic, that goes to 1/8000th, doesn't it?
Yeah. But then what you also have to understand too is, okay, well, how much light is available, because you want to get it up, especially when you're talking about a camera like the 5D. The ISO is very important, because once you get to 800, it starts to get a lot more muddy, meaning digital grain. So for me, I had to go with my shutter speed at about 1/2000th, because that was what I was getting with an ISO 400. I couldn't go higher than that, otherwise I was gonna be underexposing the image. So
right.
You're sometimes kind of pigeonholed with the 60. I could keep bringing the ISO up until I get my max shutter speed, because I'm not worried about the digital noise. So you have
First step is get that shutter speed as fast as you can go. Now most cameras, most of your, I think your 60 is even 1/4000th.
That's the max, yeah. 1/4000th.
Right, the max is 1/4000th. And for most applications, that's plenty. Okay? So the 5D Classic, the Mark II, my 40D, they all go to 1/8000th of a second.
Mm-hmm.
So that's twice as good, twice as fast, But again, half as much light gets through, but you can really stop that action, quite well. But in order to do that, you have to put yourself in a position to have lots of light. So you're talking about on a sunny day. You need this to start with that much light. And then you now have to dial in the combination of, okay, what's the aperture you can go with? Well, Adam, you wanted something where you could stop down to keep everybody in focus.
Right.
For me, it didn't matter. So I shot at the maximum f4 because I was using my 70-200 for the baseball one I'm talking.
Right.
The baseball photo, I'm at f4, and which then puts me at an ISO of about 320 on a very sunny day. So like, it's kind of counterintuitive that you're going to shoot at ISO 320 on a sunny day. Generally, your instinct is put it at ISO 100. It's like so much light, more light than we need, but you still got to go to 320. And I'll go to 640 some days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you want to shoot it, if I want to shoot at an F5.6 to keep a little bit more in focus, I'm going to have, that means an ISO of 640. Again, counterintuitive on a sunny day, but that's what gives you the 1/8,000th of a second.
Right.
That allows you to freeze this. Now, with the shot of my son, that was on the 30D, but I'm the 40D with 30mm lens. I'm pretty sure that was an F4 at an ISO 640 just because of the situation, the lighting situation. And that put me at an ISO probably, 640 F4 to get that 1/8,000th of a second to freeze all those water droplets.
Okay.
That's, I mean, relatively speaking, is it safe to say that that's somewhat simple?
It is. I think most people, if they're listening to episode 300 and whatever, 333 that we're on, hopefully have that sort of in mind, is that blur the action. You're going to need a longer window of time for your shutter to create that effect versus make the action frozen. You're going to need a really, really small window of time or a high shutter speed, as we say.
Right.
And so, and then from there, you can kind of just sort of problem solve through, okay, if you need that fast shutter speed, what do you have to do to the ISO to, and then what do you have to do to the aperture? So it is all that exposure triangle. So I think you're right in that the most important parameter when stopping the action is the shutter speed. And then you can kind of work backwards.
That's where you start. Now you could shoot with in the TV mode or whatever it's called, where you set the
shutter priority. Yeah.
The shutter priority. I don't do that. I shoot fully manual, as I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
But it is essentially the manual version of shutter priority.
Right.
You're physically making that your priority, and the rest is dialed in. Okay, so that's great. But now, what if you want to add flash?
Well, now if you're going to add flash, it's either got to be high speed sync. If you're set on what your shutter speed needs to be, then you could potentially add, you know, two or three low power output high speed sync flashes. So that'd be one way, and then you wouldn't have to change any of your parameters necessarily, especially if you had ETTL high speed sync. Or you'd have to basically start all over again, because you're going to have to knock your shutter speed way down to whatever your max sync speed is, let's say 1/200th of a second, and then you're going to have to figure out from there how to get a really small power output from your flash in order to freeze, which means underexposing. That's a whole other episode, I think.
Well, no, that's good. We're going to mention a little bit about that in a second. But if you're adding flash, I'm not talking about lighting with flash. If you're adding like a fill flash, yeah,
right.
you need that high speed sync. Otherwise, there's no way you can't. You're not going to freeze the action anymore. Or you can look into getting a camera with a leaf shutter, which is going to give you a much higher sync speed. Something like the Fuji X100T. Whatever they're on now.
Okay.
I forget what they're on. But the X100 series has a leaf shutter, which means that, you know, at F8, I think you can get, like, a basic or regular sync at, like, 1/4,000th of a second or something like that.
Wow.
Which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, that's really going to help. But for most everybody else who's still using the curtains, you need high-speed sync. And it's not going to do a whole lot. Maybe a little flick of light, but it's not going to make a massive difference. But what about just using normal flash? Like, what if, like you said, you want to add in, you want to light your thing with flash? What next? How do we achieve that? And this is the part where I was getting at, where I want you to think of the physical process and not just the camera part of it. We want to take a very, very small sliver, but how do we do that with only flash?
Well, you need a very low power of flash, because if you basically have full power, so if you go full power on your flash, then that light has to basically stay on longer. So so if you put your flash
on... Well, you're saying when you have a flash that you can dial the power up and down, when it's on full power, it's not brighter?
Well, as far as I know, it's brighter. Maybe it's brighter. I don't know. But it's on for a much longer period of time.
Right. That's what we're looking at. When you dial your flash down to, like, say, one, you know, eighth power, it basically flashes for less time.
Right.
It fills up less of your camera bucket. Whereas, you know, on full, it's on for much longer. On 1/64th, it's just on for it's a smidgen is the technical term.
It's a flick. Yeah.
And so that's what we want. In the effort to basically take a smaller slice of time, that's what we want. We want the flash to be on for very, very, as short as possible.
Right. And I think people are thinking, well, the sync speed's still 1/200th of a second, but we're talking about a situation where the flash is providing the light in your image. So if the flash is providing, you know, all or at least the vast majority of the light in your image, then it's still going to freeze the action because it's still just a tiny little amount of time that flash is on.
So if you could put yourself in total darkness, which is kind of the ideal situation here, your shutter speed no longer matters in terms of photographically, but also in freezing the action. So whether it's 1/60th of a second, whether it's 4 seconds, if it's dark, it doesn't matter if you have 4 seconds of total darkness, it's going to be the same as half a second of total. It's not going to register.
Right.
But within that time frame, if your flash flicks on and off very, very quickly, that's what the exposure is going to be.
Right.
That's how we go and limit and freeze our action. I mean, that's a much different scenario than shooting, you know, baseball. Like, it's hard to play baseball in the total darkness.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. But your exposure is only dictated by the flash.
And I've seen some really cool images, and I've seen photographers describe it where, you know, you've got a guy in a boxing gym or something, and he's hitting a heavy bag, and, you know, you got sweat, and you've got, like, and probably some of it's probably souped up with, like, you know, water bottles and whatnot, but you have a full darkness, and then someone basically can do a 4 second exposure if they want, but the photographer can basically put the camera on a tripod, have that person hitting the heavy bag and water and sweat flying everywhere, and then just walk by and just pop the flash, and then mm-hmm. you can get a super cool image because of the fact that, like you say, that flash, that light that's creating your image is only on for just a tiny fragment of time.
Exactly. So in order to put yourself in that position, though, you know, you want to only have that small flick of light. So you have total darkness. You have your ISO kind of at something reasonable. I mean, you don't want it. A much lower ISO is going to require more light.
Right.
So if you're at 100, yeah, you're going to get a good image. But now you need a lot more light to pour in. So
You're negating the whole purpose that we're explaining, which is just a very, you know, small fragment of time if you have to increase your power output.
Exactly. Now, also another factor is, I mean, if you go too high, you run into the situation you talked about with digital noise. So you kind of want to find something in the middle. But this is a great opportunity to use a prime lens so that you have your aperture wide open. If you have a wide open aperture, something like an f2 or 2.8, then you can get to ISO 100, and even with just a little speed light at 1/64th or 1/128th power, you're going to fill up that image. You're going to get what you want, and so you know you'll need very, very little light to get the exact exposure, and that's what you want. So more power, longer flash duration. We want the minimum. How do you get the minimum? ISO, aperture.
Okay.
So where in, like, just to wrap this up, where do you, like, do you ever think of stopping the action? Like, where do you imagine this would come in handy? Not so much the flash part. That's sort of a bonus. But, like, just in stuff that you shoot, where is this going to be a...
Like stopping the action, you mean?
Yeah.
It's generally, for me, it's sport. I mean, Jack plays baseball, he plays hockey. So often the photos that I do for those sports, I really do like the stopped action shots. Occasionally, I'll like a photo that's got a little bit of motion blur, but generally I prefer the stop motion. Same with Sarah. She dances whenever I'm allowed to take photos, because most of the venues don't let you. Right. Same thing. I like the frozen images where they're jumping or leaping or spinning. Like they just look very cool.
And why is that? Why is sports and dancing and let's say the water park where the kids are running around, the water's flying everywhere. Why does that look cool in stop action?
I'm simplifying it in my own head because I think we're so used to seeing all that movement and all that speed and everything so fast that you get that just that moment in time where everything is frozen. You see expression that you otherwise would miss. You see, like you say, the movement, or not the movement, but you see the frozen water droplets in the case of your son, like stuff that you don't catch when you're watching everything in mm-hmm. full speed. So it is neat. Like in the baseball, I think, again, it can be even a handy teaching tool. Like you say, you see things in people's form or flaws, or sometimes you just see something that just it stands out as far as how good their form or their posture is. That you can only see when you freeze it.
That's right. For me, it gives you sort of access to a world that you would never, ever, ever experience. You know, when, like we talk about when you're shooting water, like shooting waterfalls, maybe you want to do a long exposure and create that really cool looking blur. That's also another version of that. You don't see it like that. So it becomes sort of an artistic and a glimpse into a different world, a different take on something from the everyday life. Versus and then this the same as with freezing the action is you don't see it. You don't see water droplets like, you know, with my son hitting the water here. You don't see water droplets like that.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of just kind of, you know, blur together. And so that's why it's something kind of interesting insight into that world.
Okay.
All right. Monthly challenge.
I can't remember. What was it again?
Water droplets. It's lens flare. The monthly challenge for May is men's flare. What?
Sure.
Lens flare, which won't be next week, the week after. So we need one for next week.
Okay.
We have a choice. Do you want to stop the action in the studio, or do you want to do something in an evening light? What do you want to do? What do you want to do, kiddo? We have some daddy questions here. Ask your questions.
I like evening.
Shh, hold on.
Don't listen to her.
Yeah. What do you want, sweetie?
I don't want to watch Bear, so
that's
scary.
What's scary? And what movie are you watching?
The Bears.
Okay. I'll come right out there in a second. Okay. Yeah. The documentary about bears. A little scary.
Oh, yeah. My kids saw it. They loved it.
Yeah. She used to love it. Now she's scared. All right, so what do you want to do? Is it evening light?
Let's do evening light, yeah.
I prefer that.
Sure.
Just because it's probably something I would like to see, something I can use in my life.
It's always good, yeah.
It always is good. I've noticed it lately, loving it. All right, then. So that's it. Monthly challenge. Lens flare, the next week is evening light. Make sure you hashtag your monthly challenge on Instagram. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, and we'll have a look. Adam. Where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And Adam Two Hosers for the Instagram.
Do you have more followers than our Two Hosers account? That'd be funny.
I have no idea. How do you do that?
I don't know. Ask your wife.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say probably not. I don't really hashtag other than everything I put out there. I just hashtag Two Hosers. So
yeah, I asked.
I see lots of people have like, I don't know, 15 hashtags. And when you do Two Hosers posts, you put a whole bunch of hashtags. I don't do that. Yeah. It's kind of laziness.
Yeah. Yeah. I just copy and paste.
Okay.
Yeah. Hashtag interesting. That's what I put on there.
Okay.
Turns out not really. You can find my stuff at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.